Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Come in.
Hey, what's up, dude?
You are on fire this morning. We just had a nice conversation pre-recording, but you were on fire even before that. Like, you're just ready to go.
Yeah, man. Second cup of coffee, man.
Wow.
You tried caffeine before? It's nuts. It's crazy.
No, caffeine is not nuts. Caffeine's caffeine.
Caffeine is crazy. It's beans, man. It's beans. That's going to be a new thing.
Yeah. I think I didn't you just buy that domain? Caffeine. Caffeine.
What do you think of fliggybam.com? Something there?
I think so.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I should buy it?
I think you should buy it.
Yeah.
Fliggybam. I think I might buy it.
It's catchy. Yeah. I think there's some potential there.
Full disclosure, I have not yet bought that new idea domain that I mentioned last week's episode.
Congratulations.
I still let one go. I still have not renewed the other one. So that one's gone. The old one that is going to be like, it's going to hit that threshold where it's going to be $80. And then to renew, I'm not doing it. I'm not buying it. I was so close to renewing. I'm like, maybe it is a good idea. Yeah. 4 years later, I'm letting it go. But I still have these other, this other one that's going to, we'll see.
Yeah,
I think you actually may like this one, this idea. And here's the thing: there's no initial monetization concept behind it per se. It's just more of a documenting a process
idea. Yeah, you know, those are the ideas that I like, the ones that don't make money. I like it so far. Good.
Yeah.
Great pitch.
Thanks. That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I thought it was going to be like some type of course. I think it could turn into something down the line, but I think initially, and as I was brainstorming it, the two people who do know about it, like, yeah, it'd just be fun to watch and go along with the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Donate to the world.
Right. Because I don't do enough of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of donating to the world, it looks like I'm going to be leading a WordCamp again.
OMG, me too.
And my wife, she found this out a couple nights ago at the, we had an F3 holiday party, by the way, where I drank an amazing milk stout.
Yeah. Do you know who brewed it?
Ooh, I could look it up. It was just so good. 11%. I mean, I had half of that thing. And I was like, woohoo.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, you like those sturdy beers.
I do. If I'm going to go, I'm going all in.
I guess. One beer.
One and done.
Yeah. I'm going to have one beer tonight.
But
I'm going to make it the equivalent of six beers.
Pretty much, yeah. So it looks like I'm probably going to be leading WordCamp Raleigh 2020.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's exciting. So, maybe I'll make it this time.
So that's why I say about, you know, doing things without getting paid or, you know, giving things away to the community. Yeah. It's Ellen was like, when did this happen? How did you get roped in that? So, like, surprise. We're at this dinner party. Surprise.
Yeah.
So
we'll good see. Job. Yeah. Good job. Well, I'm sure the community will be grateful for your contribution.
Thanks. I hope so.
The people of Raleigh need you.
Right. Yeah. Thanks. We may change the name to WordCamp Cary. Just make it easier down the street from my house. Because 10 miles is too far for me. No, I'm kidding. The other thing I was going to tell you real quick, as far as an update for me, is I picked up Avalon last week or a week ago from when this comes out. She finished her first semester of college. She loves college now. She's not a big fan of her roommate, but that happens, you know, when you're a freshman. Mm-hmm. She ended up getting a 4.0 first semester.
Wow. Good job, Avalon.
She's a rock star. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
are you like at all surprised? Like, I don't know about what her high school record was. I'm sure it was great. But like, is this just basically the expectation?
No. She was like a total failure through high school. No, I'm kidding.
We're shocked.
Who did you cheat off of? No. The fact that she got into college was huge. No. She did really well in high school. Okay. I thought, you know, you're a freshman in college. You're going away. You know, there were concerns of not going off the rails, but just, you know, living your life as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kind of thing, and just kind of doing what you want without the parental units thing.
Yeah.
She did not go off the rails at all. She actually held it together. She had some moments of stress, as to be expected. It comes and goes for her, but she did really well. I mean, on the flip side, you know, I have the two other boys here at the home, and one of them went the other way. I won't go into it here. But you know, he's doing fine too. Just high school is, it can be stressful. I mean, Avalon had a rough sophomore year. So, you know, high school teenagers these days, I think it's much harder than when I went to high school.
Really?
It was. Yeah. I totally do.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that perspective. I always appreciate that. Whenever someone says like, well, we hear it very often, like, you guys have it easy. It was harder for me back in my day.
In this case,
when someone appreciates that,
it was it's completely harder now. Social media, the distractions, the expectations, the pressure, wickedly harder now, I think, than when I went to school. I mean, it was hard in a sense, yeah, but looking back, you're like, oh, so easy. It takes that time and perspective to know this. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. And also two more things I want to mention in my little update here. We're meeting a dog tomorrow from recording this show. So a couple of days ago when this comes out, he's a Ridgeback mix. I'm a huge Ridgeback fan. We'll see if this one works out for us. We've met a few other dogs this year. But his name, he has a weird name. He's five. I don't know if we can change his name, but his name is Delvis.
Okay.
Like Elvis with a D.
Mm-hmm.
Would you change it? Would you call him Del? Would you call him Elvis? Would you call him, you know, would you call him Bob?
I guess I don't know. I've had so many pets,
yeah.
Like so many pets in my life, and plenty came with names already. Mm-hmm. And I think you just get used to it. Okay. Like it sounds weird now. There's pets we've had before where we thought,
"What's the weirdest?"
We're probably going to change that name, and then
what's the weirdest one?
Just
you've
got
ever
over
had?
It. The weirdest one. Probably all the weird ones we came up with ourselves.
That makes sense.
But there were some that, I don't know. There were some that like came to us maybe with like very uncreative names,
Spot.
You know? Yeah. Just like Spot or Spot. Puppy or
Rover.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Fluffy or just some super generic name. Kitten, you know.
Avalon always wanted to name a dog. She wants to get us have us have a dog and name the dog Fish. She's always wanted to do that. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
I heard somebody tell me the other day about a friend they had who had a dog named Dioji. So it's like spelling it out but pronouncing it that way. Dioji. Dioji. I thought that was really funny and actually kind of creative.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a name. I mean, Dioji sounds like it could be from, you know, Costa Rica.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Dioji. Hey. ¿Cómo se va? That's French. Wait a minute. ¿Qué pasa, Dioji?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. And last question I have for you real quick. How's that Apple Watch working out for you? How's that challenge going with Dustin?
Yeah. I got an Apple Watch a month and a half ago for my birthday for my wife, and I'm digging it. Yeah, I like it. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate all the social nudges that I get.
Yeah.
I get like a text from coworkers and friends and so on every time I complete something and doing that. And it's just reminding me to keep a little bit more active every day. I think I have been more physically active since I've gotten the watch. And it surprised me because it's reduced the amount of time I spend looking at my phone screen.
Interesting. But you didn't answer the question. How'd that challenge go?
Challenge? I was in a challenge.
So you don't want to talk about it. I see how it is.
Okay. Yeah. I think I held my own for the first couple hours.
Yeah. He told me it was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he loved my rant last week. So when I talked to him the next time I FaceTimed him, you know, which was a few days ago, he answers and he says, "I can't talk." And I didn't get it at first. I was a Wednesday. I was picking up Avalon. I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, I thought he was at the library. He actually was at the library. And then he says, no, I can't talk right now. I'm like, I hate you. And then you do the same thing.
Yeah.
You guys.
Props to Dustin.
Yeah, props.
That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah,
so what else is going on in your life? What's new over there?
You know, just I've been working actively on interviewing more members of my family for a little side project I've got going on. Trying to catalog these stories of all the important people in my life. And what I'm doing is putting together a bit of an audio production of sorts for us. It's going to be like a private podcast. Mm-hmm. Members of my family to listen to the stories from each other. And maybe create like this audio repository of like all the stories and perspectives from, you know, the Mowers and others in our clan, you know, throughout the years. And it's been a very moving project already. Getting to interview like my parents and grandparents and siblings and aunts and uncles and stuff. And I'm getting so much out of it. It's very enriching. And nobody has heard the content yet except for me. And over Christmas break, I'm going to have a little bit of time off work and I'm going to polish it up and start releasing it next year so everyone else can listen. And I'm just so excited about it.
Very cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Anything else going on? What are you doing today?
Today, I'm going to hang out with some family because I've got a brother and a sister and brother-in-law from Washington State visiting from out of town. And we're going to just like have a great time together.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll have fun with them.
Right. Thank you.
Welcome. So I don't know who this is, but since you put it in the notes, you can read it.
Jerry's Ida. Has been maybe head of sales or product or something. He's been I feel bad for forgetting what his specific role is, but he's been a very nice, very knowledgeable guy who was in charge of a lot of important things over at Nexus Hosting. And he just left the company. I don't know yet what he's pursuing. I'm sure it's something new and exciting, but he's a great guy. He's given some super compelling talks at some of our local camps here in Michigan, because Nexus is a Michigan-based hosting company, which was recently acquired by Liquid Web. I've always admired Jerry's, and I think he's a great member of like the local like WordPress and tech community. And so wish him the best on his new adventure.
I do wish him the best. He looks cool. I'm looking at his website right now, and I have a small problem with his website.
What's that?
It's not on WordPress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's awkward.
I don't know. No. I don't know. They're a very...
it's his personal website, so you know, that's a thing.
Yeah. He's been in like the hosting game for a long time, and Nexus focused on more than just WordPress.
Right.
They did a lot of Magento, and we're very e-commerce focused, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Still are. I shouldn't say use past tense, but cool. They still operate and do cool stuff. Anyway,
all right.
Congrats to Jerry's.
Congrats to Jerry's. All right. I think that's the only. No one's moved. No one else. I mean, it's been kind of a slow time of year for changes, huh?
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know. Maybe I'm just out of touch.
No, you're not. Because I mean, I'm connected. I'm dialed in. I'm plugged in. I'm booted up.
Yeah,
that's a line from like two movies or 20 movies. So,
jeez.
Yeah. All right. This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new. So you added this. I'm going to read it, though. Ross, our friend Ross Johnson over at 3.7design.co, wrote a blog post about deliverables.
Yeah.
And it really was cool. It's a good blog post.
Yeah.
You know, I did read this. And it's ironic because I was talking to Tara Clays. She bought a onboarding plugin, like a client portal type of thing called, I think, Client Portal. You know, and that's always the struggle. It's like, how do you manage that? The onboarding, you know, I've expanded my form to gather information from a client and then do the proposal. You know, just to have those processes in place and then deliverables. And his post is really good. So,
yeah. It kind of lays out like how you should do it. And let me tell you, like, I used to run an agency and I've been friends with Ross for years and always looked up to him. And back when I was running an agency, like, I basically just like wanted to be Ross. Like I wanted to be as successful as he was. I wanted to run an agency like Ross. Like if there was anybody professionally that I knew that I was emulating, it was probably Ross. Mm-hmm. And that's for good reason, because he knows his stuff. He's been doing this actually for a surprisingly long time. He's written books before about like web design and stuff. He's like a brilliant designer. He makes some of the best stuff out there.
Yeah, we actually stole his design, or maybe it's his wife also. She's a designer as well.
True, yes.
And we used their design. What was it for? Was it for? Oh, for the badges. Yeah. We use our template for the badges for Work Camp LA or something. Yeah. Something to that effect. Yeah. Why can't I think of her name all of a sudden?
Lindsay.
Lindsay. She's awesome. Yeah. They have, and they're also the company behind Project Panorama.
Correct. Very popular, project visualization plugin.
Yeah, it's really, I've talked about it on my other show, and it's a great plugin. And unfortunately, I think my license has expired. So, Ross, if you're listening, I could always use a new updated license. Just saying,
That's true.
All right, so, yeah.
If you're doing client projects like this, I think you should take a look at this blog post because my opinion is this is a concise summarization of how projects of this kind generally should be run.
Right. Absolutely. Good. Good pull. Good pull. So, all right. What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? What you wearing, what you reading, what you drinking now? So I'll start here. I am actually wearing a shirt by Pagely, the hosting company. My buddy, I got this at a conference somewhere, one of the conferences, right? But which you can't see just off camera. And I was going to put it on, but it was actually kind of warm downstairs because I had the heaters on. My buddy, Josh Strubble, we're tight. Seriously. He sent me a hoodie.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, he sent like a handful of them, to people. Yeah. But I have a lovely maroon Pagely thick, nice, cozy hoodie, which I haven't worn yet. It's just sitting on the table over there. But I was gonna put that on, but I didn't want to be sweating during the show. So I could have gone double Pagely, but I just went single Pagely. Sounds weird, okay. I know. Right. Drinking coffee in a Michael's Learning Place mug. Michael's Learning Place is the location of where my wife used to work. It's a nonprofit in Southern California for after school program with kids with disabilities. Check them out over at michaels.org, I think, michaelslearning.org. I'm still reading Invested, that book I was from last week. It's really good. There's tasks to do and kind of follow along. It's really, really about investing and learning, and it's never too late to start, so I'm starting because I feel like it's almost too late. So anyway, that's what I'm reading. So it's called Invested: How Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger Taught Me to Master My Mind, My Emotions, My Money, with a little help from my dad. So check it. Nice. Link in the show notes. Wait,
it doesn't say who's the author?
The author is, I will tell you the author.
I don't actually have that here.
It is by Danielle Towne.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, I am wearing MongoDB socks, which are actually yours. You left.
I know, yeah. Yeah. You've washed them since last time though, right?
What? I'm wearing a Nexus hosting hat.
Wow.
A WP Engine WordCamp US 2019 shirt that says St. Louis on it. And I got to say, WP Engine steps it up swag-wise consistently year after year. I like this shirt. I think I look really good in it. I'm drinking some water from an A2 hosting water bottle. And
go on.
I know. And I'm reading Rick Steves' Ireland travel guide.
You're like, I was gonna say, with all the WordPress stuff, you're like the NASCAR today of podcast hosts.
Yeah, you've said that before.
I know. I still like to say that. Yeah. One of these days, you and I are gonna go to a camp. We're gonna wear a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
All the banners, like all the potential things. We should do that.
We should.
We can be a pit crew, right? I'll be the driver. Yeah. And you can be my pit crew. We'll just be bannered out. We should sell the spots. Mm-hmm. And the money we make from it, we'll donate to, something.
To Get Options show.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay. So cool. How's that book? How's the Rick Steves book?
Oh, it's great. I learned so much about Ireland.
Is he still
Irish
around?
History.
Is the book current? Is he still around? Is it still relevant?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. This is the 2019 edition, and there's a 2021 coming out soon.
The reason I know about him is because my friend, what was her name? Oh my gosh, I can't think of her name. She was at my wedding. She'll never listen to the show. She told me about Rick Steves when my buddy, my best man at my wedding, and I were going to Europe about 3 months before I got married. We backpacked around for a month, and that was 21 years ago. Rick Steves was a thing.
Wow. Oh,
Gladys Wickering. That's her name. Yes. She's awesome. So, so her and her husband were at my wedding because I used to work with her back at Raytheon. I think it was Raytheon. No, Hughes Space and Com. That's how old I am. So I'm surprised he's still around. That's great for him. He's killing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's great. I love Rick Steves.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. A lot of people don't, FYI.
What?
I do. I think he's great. I like his, I like his approach to it. So
yeah,
reminds me of Huell Hauser. Do you know who Huell Hauser was?
No.
Okay, West Coast guy. You don't want to look it up.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle. Guess what time it is?
Time. Oh. I just remembered it's time to head over to Vito's Espresso in Jackson because they're giving out free coffee this morning. You think you could finish up the podcast while I'm gone?
Yes, absolutely. Not a problem. Okay. But it's that time. Right. It's also time for... That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Options with coffee and Vito's and all the sponsors that we should have lined up to pay us for everything we mentioned today. All right.
Here's the first question.
Yes. Hit me.
Does anyone have a good analogy to explain to non-techie people the difference between hosting and domain registration? I have a longtime client, a nonprofit run by a committee, whose domain registration just expired, and they're flabbergasted because we paid your bill, your last bill on time. We don't handle their domain registration because I think that should always be in the client's name. I still don't have a good way to explain how that's different from the hosting slash maintenance they pay us for. This comes to us from our good friend, Sarah Dunn.
Sarah Dunn.
Thanks for the question.
Thanks, Sarah. So I have some thoughts here. So let's first start with a few definitions. As per dictionary.com says, language is defined as the method of human communication, either spoken or written. Consisting of the use of words in a structured and conventional way, also known as a system of communication used by a particular country or community.
Okay.
A definition of I want to continue here. Analogy is defined as a comparison between two things, typically for the purpose of explanation or clarification.
Really?
And nonprofit, this is my own definition, is code for short-sighted, naive, and usually underfunded.
Thank you.
Right. So now with that, option one, write out the true explanation and reverse the words and sentences, and you might be speaking their language.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, you've got some experience here. Right. I guess I'll take your word for it.
I have like a few more. I'm gonna give you one more, and then we'll come back around to me. So option two, raise your rates by 10x before you even take the call or answer the email.
Generally good advice, right? No matter what the question.
Okay. What do you guys? Yeah. I have one more, but I want to hear what you... I have another final option, if you will, but I want to hear what you have to say here first.
Or I think you're going to hate me for this one. Okay. Hosting. Here's the difference between the two. Hosting is something real businesses spend a lot of money on.
Oh.
Domains are things dreamers and wannabes spend a lot of money on.
Oh,
that's the difference.
Okay. I see what you did there. My final option in the end of the show, it's renting versus owning versus leasing versus borrowing versus stealing versus the 49ers versus the Packers always.
Dang, man. Come on.
Hey, you open up the can and I'm going to give you the whoop.
I guess you're right.
So, yeah. What else you got?
I think all of this crap is like uber confusing for people. Like we've got to appreciate, like, maybe some of us have been in like tech and the web like for a while, and we take for granted a lot of this, but I think it's still important for us to always acknowledge the fact that this stuff is complicated because it's so entangled. Each of these concepts we're referring to are so entangled with 100 other things, none of which are understood. There's no clear foundation of understanding for this type of person that we're referring to. Someone who doesn't understand the difference between domains and hosting, maybe someone who's non-technical. I refer to that. I don't like calling on any language that belittles that person. We're going to refer to them as a person who is an expert in something else that is not nice. This.
Right. Right. You know, that's fair.
They're a smart person, but this is not their thing,
right,
like it is ours. So when that's the case, there's just so much going on. Like, this is inherently complicated to understand these concepts. Like, to really understand them, you kind of have to like fundamentally get computers and computer networks and the internet and web browsers and ICANN and internet protocols and servers and DNS and IP addresses and many other concepts. All of these are entangled together, and to understand any of them, you almost have to understand all of them, which is
it is that chicken and egg, you know. It's a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people that, you know, you can't, and I guess I've been mistaken by, you know, you buy a domain, it's yours forever. Well, it's yours as long as you keep paying for it. It's not yours forever. As long as you can buy, register the domain to have access to it and use it, is a 10-year block at a time, right? Mm-hmm. That's the most. And it's usually anywhere from, you know, it's $10 a year to register the domain to have, to put something on it. To put something on it, you have to have a web host, which is just a server that has space for you. You know,
yeah,
and you pay for that separately. You know, and you can put these things together in one place, which many new people do. Those not in the know do that. Or if you're not, if it's not, technology is not your thing, you host, you buy a domain, and you host in the same place because it's easy, it's great. But if by chance you want to move your hosting, for the non-technical, it becomes more difficult to do that. And you have to also then move the registrar, which is where you bought the domain. You know, if you buy them in one place, you have to then move it. So I like to split mine up. I always explain that I buy my domains at hover.com. I host other places. So that way, if host A starts to not do well, I can always just go to Hover, change the technical term of the DNS, point it somewhere else. It's like when you move your house, you can have a P.O. box. That's how I usually explain it. You have a P.O. box. You can move from an apartment to a house to a condo out of city. Your P.O. box stays the same.
And I actually like that one. That one's pretty good.
Thank you. And if you do travel by chance, here's what you can do. If you travel and you're like a digital nomad, you could have a P.O. box. The P.O. box will, for a fee, take your mail and forward it to where you want, like once a month. So that's what you're doing, you know.
Okay.
So you don't have to go physically, but you can forward the mail, the physical mail. You can, in this case, you can change your physical address, but you know, that's how I explain it too. So
yeah, that's actually a good analogy. Analogies are tricky.
They are. But I like the house versus where your mailbox is, where your mail goes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like. Domains are to hosting kind of as addresses are to houses, and kind of as phone numbers are to phones, and kind of as license plates are to cars, but kind of like like they're unique to a specific destination. You know, like each license plate is unique and each phone number is unique. And they go to a specific place, a specific physical phone and a specific physical car. But it's still not perfect. We can use a lot of these analogies, but the truth is none of them are perfect. They're just the best approximation we have. Just unfortunately, websites are different, and it does take a little bit of learning to understand. The best example that I have that maybe hopefully complements yours is maybe more an illustration on like how domains work. Like I have a TV. It's kind of basic, but like I can take my TV remote and use the voice command feature on the remote, and I can say ESPN, and the TV then changes the channel to 236 or whatever it is. Like, I don't know what the number is, and that's the point. I don't need to know the number of the channel for ESPN. That's like how your domain relates to the IP address that is the actual address of your website. We invented domain names so that there could be human-friendly addresses for the websites that we create, because they have actual addresses, but they're just not human friendly. They're just numbers. We could send, like, imagine if we sent our mail to GPS coordinates. You know, you wrote a letter and I sent it to your GPS coordinate. Like it should get to you because that's where you are. But instead we use human friendly addresses like 123 Maple Lane. Mm-hmm. and we do that instead. So anyway, that's kind of like the purpose of domains,
right?
Not exactly the answer to the question.
You're right. I mean, we could say get options is over at the website 7598175122, but then it has to have a little bit more information to then actually go to our specific directory on that server, because that server could have a lot of other hosting, other websites, and it does, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah. If you, I mean, if this is into the weeds a little bit, but like it's possible to get a dedicated IP address so that there is a single IP that goes direct to your website. But otherwise, like if you're on a shared IP address, then that will go to the server, and then the host is responsible for routing properly traffic to the right right slice of that server.
Right.
Which is where your website is.
Yeah. So a great question and not an easy answer, but I think seriously, Sarah, if you just use mine, you'll be a winner. I'm going to go ahead and create a, maybe I'll do an infographic with and I'll share that.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
I might do a webinar and a new domain just about teaching. No, I'm kidding. I'm not doing any of that.
Okay. I like Sarah's approach to domain registration. I think it's extremely important that clients own their own domains.
I agree.
That is very, very important.
100%.
I am not supportive of anybody adopting another practice.
Right.
And I usually am not so adamant on any rules when
that
it comes to consulting in your business. That is one. You as the consultant should not own your client's domain.
I don't know if you remember this. Back when I was in California, I had a client. They reached out to me to do some consulting for them. I told them my rate. They said, no, it's too expensive. They could find someone else for a lot less money for a whole day. I'm like, great, go ahead. And then like 6 months later, they call me. Turns out that person was not that great. I never called them back. Anyway, I ended up working with this client for a while, for months, but only after she had to take, and she hired another developer to do some work. And then after about 6 more months, during that 6 month time, the guy just wanted more money to finish the site. He said that he was done. And she said, no, you're not, because the site wasn't done. You know, and
I'm done.
and clearly it wasn't. Long story short, he had bought all the stuff for her. Mm-hmm. He locked her out. And then he sues her.
What?
Yeah. He wanted to get paid. And then he wins.
Oh, man.
So because the judge at the time, you know, this is, you know, six years ago. I was still over at the old job. You know, I remember doing this. She had to go to San Diego to defend herself. She ended up having to pay, like, they split the half of the balance was due for her to get access back to her sites, her domain. So she had to pay, she paid like $4,000 to start the project, an $8,000 project. She paid four. She had to pay another two to regain access. Because the site wasn't done. But yeah, that's the problem. I always tell clients, I tell people, I'm not buying your domain. You buy it, use this link, go to Hover, and then give me, you know, logins. That's one thing, that's fine.
But actually, maybe you're making the point that consultants should own their clients' domains because you can make more money through the practice you just described.
Yeah,
you can hold them hostage and squeeze your clients for more money.
HostageWP.com. Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe I'm the wrong approach here. You're right. Maybe I need to be.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being too ethical.
I guess you probably are. Yeah, like just squeeze them for more money. Like hold all of it. Yeah. Anyway, this is a great idea. We're extracting even more value than we expected from this conversation.
Clearly. So, all right, moving on to question two. Is it, you okay moving on to question two?
Well, I mean, I had more points, but
go ahead. No. Give me one more.
I mean, I don't know. This is just like very like off the...
Yeah, give me one more.
I mean, I think I get inspired by questions like this. And I just wanted to remind people that the job of a consultant is always going to be very teacher-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might think that you are primarily a maker when in fact your primary function is actually education.
Right.
The value you bring to your clients is not and never will be a collection of plugins and tools and checklists and templates. It's not that. It's your knowledge coupled with your ability to communicate complex concepts to people who just so happen to be experts in something totally different than you.
I like it. Wow.
Those are my thoughts.
So, are those your thoughts or are those Ross's thoughts?
I mean, everything good that I know probably originally came from Ross.
That was strong. That was a strong statement. I'm going to give you props. I'm glad I waited for that versus moving on to the second question.
Oh, you're so flattering.
Yeah, well, you know.
Oh, gee.
Okay, moving on to question two.
Okay.
This is another good friend of the show. What is the status of Classic Press and who is using it and why? And happy holidays and hope you are well. This is from Tara Clays over in Slack.
Thank you, Tara.
Thanks, Tara. So let me start real quick with status is defined at... I'm kidding.
Oh, gosh.
Actually, I'm going to do two things here. I'm going to go ahead and do this. I started writing a song about this, as you know.
What?
I did. But it didn't go well. It went so bad that Ellen came in to help, and she's like, this is so bad.
Oh, no. Now I really want to hear it.
So I couldn't record it. So I'm going to possibly record it, put it at the end of the show after we're done recording this. Like I got to reword it if I'm going to even go with it. So the status of Classic Press. Yeah, what do you have at the moment? I have maybe a thought here, but what do you know?
Okay. Darn, man, I want to hear this song so bad.
No, I don't know.
Okay. I spent a little time looking into Classic Press, mm-hmm. more than I have in the past.
Right.
It's inspired by this question. I mean, we promised that we do our research, and I certainly did.
Right.
I dove in. And I have some observations. And this is mostly good, and it was actually interesting to me. I learned things that I didn't know. I observed that after spending a lot of time on the Classic Press site and in the active Classic Press forums and reading the blog posts and basically just like following this sub-community to get a better sense of what it is all about. And it is very much alive. It is very much still a thing. It is absolutely a community of people, small compared to the broader ecosystem, but still vibrant and motivated and enthusiastic about their mission. I was impressed by a few things. One, that they were mostly positive throughout, like on the website and throughout the forums and discussions and announcements and FAQs. Generally, it is a very positive message. Not negative. Like, this is not all about a rejection of the editor and a critique of the direction of WordPress. Now, for those maybe who don't remember, because Classic Press originally was birthed a year and a few months ago as a fork of an official fork of WordPress. Like the code, a split of the code base. Like, now we're going to go in a new direction. We're going to take what we have here and we're going to do something different with it. And the main difference initially is that we are not going to adopt Gutenberg. We're not going to use the new editor. We're going to stick with the old one, the classic editor, hence the Classic Press name. However, I mean, at the time it was kind of a novel thing. We're like, oh, like there's enough people really passionate about the old editor to like fork WordPress and maintain it. And I wonder how long that'll work. Cause WordPress is a major project. So we talked about it, I'm sure, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's the backstory. Sorry about that. So now it is still very much alive and people are still very enthusiastic about it. And there's even more going on with the project than I had realized. The changes that they are working on and promoting and embracing are not even limited to the editor. It's kind of becoming this project where a small group of people are enthusiastically working on doing what they believe WordPress should be doing or should have done. So some of the differences are a different governance structure. They're working on a more democratic and transparent leadership structure than what we have in WordPress. There's always been vocal critiques over like how WordPress is led because it isn't democratic. And so they're creating a leadership structure that they believe is democratic, and it's admirable, and they're doing their best. It's hard to do. That is a hard thing actually to do. Easier when a project is small, for what it's worth. They are obviously changing, focusing on the old editor, but they're also like proposing a roadmap, which I think is kind of interesting. They're looking to do things like move some core features of WordPress into what they refer to as core plugins. So take some features of WordPress. Some of their examples were like XML RPC, Gravatars, and I can't remember what else. There were a couple other things that could be potentially extracted from core WordPress, put into a core plugin, and essentially made optional, which is a novel concept. There are a lot of features baked into WordPress, loads and loads and loads of features that you don't even know about. And the ability for you as an owner of a site to like toggle on and off some of those features based on whether you need it or not is pretty neat and different. So that's a direction that they are trying to go. Their forums are very active, even with activity just in recent hours.
I was going to say, but isn't it, it's weird to me. So what I find odd about it, it's a plugin.
Yeah.
I think people see WordPress as, you know, it's a zip file. You run it, you install it from as a thing. So the process to run Classic Press is to install WordPress and then install Classic Press as a plugin. Am I wrong in that? It's not a blank slate of its own code in that sense.
Not yet. Yeah.
And that's what I think is a weird thing to get your head wrapped around.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the site right now. Yeah, and you're right. First of all, I'm looking at the forums, you know, and most recently there's a couple things that were posted general discussion an hour ago, 3 hours ago. You know, it is active. So it's not like nothing's been happening for a while, right? Yeah, there's stuff literally, actually, right now, 21 minutes ago, someone posted something about Classic SEO all in one import. So that's great. From 21 minutes ago, it's fantastic. But yeah. I went to on the homepage, it says get Classic Press, switch to Classic Press from WordPress. If you want to switch the migration, it's a migration plugin. Migrating your WordPress plugin to Classic is easy. It only takes a few minutes. So I'm curious. Oh, that's what it is. So it's a migration, but maybe they changed it.
Right. That makes sense.
Make sense. Okay, so log in to your existing site, press upload plugin. Okay, run the migration. So that must then change things from, if you want to migrate, you can do that. Install new Classic Press site, then I guess you have to then go and download Classic Press itself. So there is another version. There's two ways to go about this. And that's what I think. I mean, I didn't get that right away. I didn't, I think their documentation, the resources page needs to kind of have up top two options. I might give them some feedback on that. So maybe...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tara also asked about the benefits in our Slack conversation. And I believe that at this time, like as of today, the benefits are minimal. It's the same experience, but just like we're used to before with the old editor, I guess. So that is really the key benefit, but their values are spelled out in greater detail and guide the direction. So if you're looking ahead, the differences and benefits may be much more, such as a transparent and democratic leadership for the project. They really emphasize, from what I can tell, the software being entirely self-hosted and not reliant on a service. Now, this is where, like, they'll be vocal critics of Jetpack and WooCommerce and a few other popular tools, because those do actually at this time have service related, like SaaS related functionality. Like they do connect to WordPress.com for some of their functionality. So it's not truly entirely 100% self-hosted if you're using plugins like that kind anymore. And so they really emphasize being entirely self-hosted, not reliant on a service. They emphasize the classic editor, and they have a pretty exciting vision for the future with some of the functionality, like changes in how WordPress operates that I described before. Right. So the future, if they get lots of volunteers and they continue, it will get more and more different.
Yeah, and so just FYI, I went ahead and just installed it just now. I was curious. So yeah, so my mistake, it's not a plugin. It's a plugin if you want to migrate. It's actually, yeah, it's its own core zip file, as it should be. I was like, I was confused there.
Sure, yeah.
So I installed it locally with desktop server. One of the things I did notice, only 12 languages translations right now, versus like there's a lot more in core, right, in WordPress. There's only 12 on Classic Press. But once you install it, installed just fine. The dashboard looks the same. It all looks the same. I'm just looking. There's like three updates. That first thing, it wants to update all my 2015, 17, and 16 themes. Okay, that's fine. Any other plugins? No plugins got installed automatically. There's a security tab, which is interesting. That's new. Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, it's clean. It's like any other brand new install of WordPress, but it says Classic Press instead of WordPress. And I'm sure, like we said, core is different. There's some difference on the back ends, right? And obviously, it's gonna run only Classic Press. I mean, Classic Editor.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, actually, it comes with its own theme too. Classic Press has its own 2017. I guess it's a 2017 child theme. Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yes.
Thrown in here is that this is great. This is a great thing for the project.
Mm-hmm.
It is healthy to have forks, active forks. It would be incredible for all of us to see what happens when alternative ideas are tried, like, for example, a different leadership structure or making core components optional plugins. We can learn from this. I think healthy software projects have forks, and the ideal outcome of this would be that both WordPress and Classic Press continue being developed and work to have a positive attitude towards each other and collaborate. And those developing WordPress keep in the back of their mind, like, how can we contribute to Classic Press in this way, or make this, like, help them adopt whatever we're developing, whatever security patches and bug fixes and small features. Right. And everyone developing for Classic Press is thinking, like, how can we contribute to WordPress, whatever we're innovating over here, or like share what we've learned and these creative ideas and whatever patches and bugs we repair and so on. That would be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Instead of them working against each other and being the antithesis of each other, or if Classic Press becomes a little bit too negative and focused on just being everything like the opposite of everything that WordPress does,
right?
That could be more of a problem. And I think that should be the case with all the open source CMSs. Mm-hmm. Should be a little more collaborative and supportive of each other, because the entire ecosystem is made more healthy when we acknowledge that we all have very similar missions, and it's just in the grand scheme of things, slightly different approaches to solving these issues.
Right.
And it's good for users to have some options and to try out Drupals and Joomlas and WordPresses and Classic Presses and find the one that is most suitable for them.
Right.
That's all very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer is try it. Check it out. Play. Help. Contribute.
Right.
Okay.
Right. All right. And promote an attitude of collaboration.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to this week's segment, which I might need a refresher on this one. But this week we're doing word stress. Because I don't think I have
there, yeah, there is a sound for it.
Is there?
You didn't really like it. So, and I never got around to making a different one.
Do I have it?
Yeah, you do. But we just haven't used it in a long time.
Okay, sorry. I don't have it here. Yeah, I don't have it ready. So I'm sorry. I don't have it.
Whatever. Don't feel bad.
Okay.
I don't care.
All right. Okay. So explain it and let's try it.
All right, word stress is a game, a word association game. Here's how it works. We go back and forth. I say a word. You say an associated word. And then I say a word associated with that word. And we continue until someone drops the ball and can't think of one or says it's something that is erroneous.
Okay.
The words we say must be nouns, only nouns. So you can say a person, a place, a company, a job, a product. It must be applicable. You cannot use an adjective. If I say the name of a person, you can't say nice guy. you have to say something.
So it can't more be a specific. It can't be a slogan either.
I don't know. Like maybe that could work. Well, I guess that's kind of a noun, a slogan.
It's a thing.
It's
okay.
A thing.
Okay, I'll go with that. Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and for example, this is like a string to illustrate how the game is played.
Okay.
I could say Apple, and then you could say iPhone, and then I could say Steve Jobs, and you could say California, and then I could say Hollywood, and you could say Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then I could say Terminator, and you could say Emilia Clarke, and then I could say Game of Thrones, and you could say Croatia. And we would just continue in that way.
I would have said, like, who's Schwarzenegger? I would have said, what? You would have lost me there.
I know.
Okay.
Sorry. It was just an illustration.
Right, okay. All right. Okay. So I'll start.
Okay, you have 5 seconds to answer. It must be a noun. It must be true.
Okay.
Otherwise, you lose. And we're going to do, let's say, 4 rounds. Let's try that.
Okay, we'll try.
See who gets more.
All right. I'll start. Okay. I'll give you the first word, right? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. St. Louis.
WordCamp US.
Organizing team.
Josepha Hayden.
Project lead.
Andrew Nason.
USPS. Yes. Do you know this connection on that?
His dad.
Yeah, who unfortunately passed away, but yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, I win that. Yeah. Do I win that round?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was so close to something there,
okay.
But too slow. Okay, you win. Okay, that's a good one. Now, I'll give you one. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Get options.
Questions.
Questions.
Want me to give a better answer?
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Podcast.
Yeah. Joe Casabona.
Building things.
Building
okay.
things.
Okay. Host.
Joe Rogan.
Fighter. That's not a good one. Yeah, fighter.
Mike Tyson.
Ears.
Elephant.
Trunk.
Core WordPress.
Ooh. Pull request.
GitHub.
Microsoft.
Bill Gates.
Steve Ballmer.
The basketball team that he owns. No, Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks. Oh, The Catch.
The Catch. Odell Beckham?
Odell Beckham Jr. Yes, I'm going to win again.
What? I said Odell Beckham.
Oh, you got the name. Okay, so I said catch you.
Yeah.
Oh, Odell Beckham. Okay, I guess you win that one. Damn it. All right.
Yeah, I'm not sure I was correct, though. Steve Ballmer owns a pro team.
He did own a pro team. I think he owned the Seattle Supersonics for a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So technically, I'll give you half a point.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
My bad.
Okay. Ready for another one?
Yep. Hit me.
Okay. I'm gonna start with we're gonna start with a name, a person in this case, just sitting up.
Okay.
Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Bud Dunn.
Beer.
Sand Hills Brewery. Or brewing, yeah.
IPA.
Hops.
Centennial.
Colorado.
Rocky Mountains.
Coors.
Lager.
Fudgicles. LL Bean. Okay, I'm out. Okay, so you get that one. So you're up to a full point now. Actually, no, you're up to 1.5. Okay. All right, what do you got? Let's do one more. We'll do one more.
Okay,
one more.
Okay. Scott DeLuzio.
I had Adam DeLuzio on my list.
What?
Okay, Scott DeLuzio. WP and Up. Oh, no. Sneaky Selfie. Better one.
Sneaky Selfie. WP and Up.
Mental Health.
Corey Miller.
iThemes.
Liquid Web.
Chris Lemma.
San Diego.
Aztecs.
Human sacrifices.
No. You lose. I would have gone with Marshall Faulk. He was a
I didn't know that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I had a Marshall Faulk poster on my wall when I was a teenager.
Nice. I had him in my dorm room as a roommate. I'm kidding.
The greatest show on turf. And those were the days.
Yeah. He was in college when I was there. I met him a couple times.
Wow.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's wrap things up. A little long here on this episode, but it was awesome. One of my favorites of all time.
Let's talk about employees.
What?
How do you find them?
Mm.
How do you hire them?
Mm.
How do you motivate them? How do you make them happy? How do you help them pursue their own career ambitions?
Make them happy.
How do you make the most of their talents? How do you correct them? These are things that fascinate me. Shall we discuss?
Yeah.
Shall we immerse ourselves in these matters together?
Totally.
That's all up to you. If you want us to talk more about these matters on which we have strong opinions and are motivated to conduct research and share useful information and tremendous value with you, all you have to do is drop us a line, send us text, type out words. This takes a matter of seconds to punch letters in a sequence into your keyboard and transmit them electronically to us. Our digital inbox can be located at questions@getoptionspodcast.com. There's also a contact form on the website at the aforementioned domain and the ability to leave us a voicemail where you can recite verbally without even damaging your fingers any further by punching into the keyboard.
Right. Awesome.
And we'll play it on a future episode of the show and we will discuss at length these amazing topics that you care about. And so do we.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
It's great. It's fantastic. And on your way to Ireland, you can find us online, Twitter primarily, get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Captain Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle. Goodbye, Dad.